Fine Handyman Show, recorded right here at the Little Ranch House on Southwood Drive in Lufkin, Texas. Show number 67 on February 2nd, 2004, believe it or not. The next hour, we're going to be talking about building, repairing, and maintaining, all designed, of course, with the blind in mind. The host for today's show, Don Patterson.
Who would have thunk it? After 66 shows, he comes to me for the first time.
I thought I was
catches me off guard.
You know, I like to be a little different from time to time. Don Shaw, hi.
Yeah, Mr. Time, how are you doing today?
Certainly nice to have you with us, young fella. And he is the youngest guy on the crew here, by the way.
Yeah.
My name is Tom Houston, and I may be next to youngest. The creator and producer of The Blind Handyman, ladies and gentlemen, Phil Parr.
Did the groundhog see his shadow today or not? Does anybody?
Well, I heard an interesting deal about that. It used to be it was Punxsutawney Phil.
Yeah.
But today on CNBC, they informed me that, well, now there's a Staten Island Saul. And then there's a Edgewood Eddie.
Yeah.
And a Hollywood Hank. And so some do and some don't.
Punxsutawney Phil.
Yeah, I think he said six more weeks of winter.
Six more weeks.
But Staten Island Saul says it's even money that.
Yeah. So there are several groundhogs these days.
That's what they say.
Several.
Yeah, what your deal is. I didn't see that this morning on television.
They did say six more weeks of winter, though?
That's what the one in Punxsutawney said, yeah.
What does he know? Punxsutawney, I read that.
That's up where it's been cold, too. I mean, it's been cold.
It's really
cold,
been cold.
Cold up there.
We have a lot of listeners in Pennsylvania.
We really do.
And it's been awfully cold. They've been talking to my whole list about how cold it was and how they are ready for spring.
I bet they are.
I would imagine so. Well, here we are gathered around again. It's a nice sunny day here.
Man, it's a great day here.
Beautiful day. I was a little worried about yesterday. It was kind of rainy and nasty, but everything has worked out. All things.
Oh, yeah. Monday rolls around, and man, fantastic weather.
Yeah, well, it rained last night.
It rained pretty good last night, didn't it?
See, that was our kicker. They could have done more out at the house had it not rained yesterday.
It rained a bunch.
We were drying up, and then.
Yeah.
Well, we got about 3 days, I think, of dry weather, and then a Pacific cold front comes through, some sort of a cool front comes through and brings rain again.
Rain by the weekend.
I would think so.
Yep.
Every weekend. Anyway. Yeah. Here we are again, all gathered around after day after the Super Bowl for us. I don't know when you'll be hearing this, but it's a day after the Super Bowl for us. And I understand you enjoyed the halftime show, did you, Tom?
Oh, I hated the halftime show. I don't mind telling you.
Want to do your imitation of Kid Rock?
I did. I can't yell like that. I mean, I just got nothing from that.
Why do they do that? We've given over our music to people, you know, young people under 18.
I guess so. I guess so, because it sure didn't hit old 58 here.
Well, you know, and everybody, I mean, just from what I hear, that, you know, they pay top dollar to run Super Bowl commercials. If you have a company, Budweiser or whoever, Anheuser-Busch, and they pay top dollar. And then their halftime shows have always sort of been the highlight of the thing, something to be. And it seems like here lately the awards shows and then now the halftime are almost like to see who can be as vulgar as they can be. I mean, this Justin Timberlake guy was like touching his privates.
I thought so.
You know, and I mean, it's really just.
Well, of course, we do that a lot here, but we can't
see
us.
But we're not on TV.
You can't see us.
But I think there'll be some chat. I think the people are really under protest.
Don't touch me, Phil. I'll cut you.
Yeah, I think we've given over those kinds of shows to young, to. I don't know. No wonder the Christian right's so mad at us, hates us all so much.
It was disappointing, really and truly, to me. I don't.
Yeah.
You know, it just really was.
Well, I missed it.
Not because of the vulgarity or anything. I mean, it's just to me the show just was not appealing to me.
It was out of place for pro football. I thought it was out of place. And then it was not family. And think about the guys sitting there with their 10-year-old sons and daughters watching. You know, that's kind of a family event.
Uh-huh.
A halftime presentation was not family. Oriented.
I wonder if they'll be willing to pay the $2.3 million per commercial.
next year.
You know?
Yeah, so you say that question. You say that it did not appeal to you, Houston, but Perry Como's dead.
Isn't he?
Yeah, Mitch Miller is not with us anymore. We can't have that. Lawrence Welk or something? What would they have for the gold guys like us? They had Willie Nelson and Toby Keith on the pregame show, I hear.
You better believe it, and I enjoyed that.
I missed that, and my friend Robert Herridge did some kind of deal for a pregame at Super Bowl. There were 8 fiddle players there, and he was one of them. You remember Robert Herridge.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so he was at the whatever.
Well, the night before on CMT, they had the Toby Keith and Willie Nelson. It was a pre-Super Bowl party.
Yeah.
And they had the guy from Aerosmith. They had a couple of guys from there that were singing country. He was playing his harmonica. Did a fantastic job. I enjoyed the heck out of it. Stayed up late and watched it. And then Dan Rather interviewed Toby Keith. And did a real good job on that, too. I don't know if I should mention the Peter Jennings.
No, we probably don't need to. Let's hold Dan Rather a broom one time. I think I've told you that, too. All right. Are we ready for... do we have email today? We have list mail.
List mail.
I've heard of everything. Can you top this? I sold Dan Rather a broom.
I sold Dan Rather a broom one time when I was a broom salesman back then.
Boy, that does it.
Yeah, what a deal.
Well, we have to take our same as we get it, you know. We can't all be Kid Rock. You have to.
I met Ethel Kennedy's dog one time.
They were talking about meeting famous people. I didn't put that on the blind like me list.
You didn't, did
no,
you?
No, then I sold in rather a broom.
Yeah.
And this was him in the flesh, or was this his manservant?
This was him in the flesh when he was still on Channel 11.
All right.
It just happened to be my luck. Could have been you or Charles or somebody, you know. Just my lucky day. But he did. He bought $1.85 for the old broom. His check cash.
Yeah. What a deal. Man.
His check cash. What was the guy said? Sold him some stuff. He's walking off. He said, I sure hope this merchandise is better than that check I just gave you.
Well, you know, if you'd have kept old Dan's check, it's probably be worth more now than it was then.
Probably would be worth more than that silly broom, I imagine.
Anyway, the subject of my first mail from the list today is sharpening drill bits.
Yeah.
And the guy says, hi, I'm new to the list and had a question. Has anyone used the Drill Doctor to sharpen drill bits? Just wondering how blind friendly it is.
Yes.
And is it Bob Gillum?
I not only have used it, I have one. I mean, I don't know if it's a Drill Doctor. I bought it at Lowe's. Someone was talking on the list about paying $110 for one. I don't think I paid but about $30, $40 for this. And it's a deal. What you do is it has a thing that you put the drill bit in on the side, a little thing that goes around the drill bit, and it lets just the right amount of drill bit stick out. Because all you want to sharpen is the tip, after all. Once you sharpen
the end,
you sharpen the end, and then the rest of it's going to follow. And you line it up, and then you put it in there and turn the little motor on. It goes and it sharpens. But it's the one I have is very brown. I don't know if mine is a Drill Doctor. I guess I ought to get the name. We've talked about this before.
Uh-huh.
There's no reason why you couldn't use the Drill Doctor, so get you one.
Does yours, after it sharpens it, does it turn itself off, or do you...
No, it does not. But once it sharpens it, you can keep moving the bit around, and there's nothing else. Nothing's hitting.
Okay.
Once it's sharpened it, nothing else is striking there. So I guess.
So it reaches a point.
So it reaches a point where it doesn't sharpen it. So I guess that means you couldn't sharpen it twice. Is that what that means?
I guess not.
Okay. All right.
I don't know. I'd have to try that.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Okay. Hi, all. Does anyone know of a voltage meter which could be used by a totally blind person? I very much doubt if such a thing exists, as no doubt it is not recommended for use to mess about with electricity. What I am trying to do is to check the voltage on my 00 gauge model railway loft layout.
Hmm.
Is that the way you said it, 00 or 00?
I don't know.
Okay. Thanks for any forthcoming comments. And this is from Brian.
Well, I have the old Radio Shack voltometer that I guess still works. I haven't used it in years, but they did sell one at one time. And I'm not sure that I didn't see one in a blind catalog. I think I saw one, but it was very expensive. It seemed like it was several hundred dollars.
What?
Some kind of a talking... We talked about this, I think. Some sort of a digital readout voltometer. I'm almost positive in maybe the Ann Morris catalog, because that's the only one I get. I wouldn't buy anything from her. She's too high. But it was in this catalog, and I'm pretty sure it was expensive. But I'm almost positive it was there. Look in the Ann Morris catalog and let us know. All right.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Hi, folks. As you know, I'm still searching for a home to buy. Your comments about the different types of roofs were extremely educational. Now I have another thing to ask about. I noticed that some homes describes the structure as vinyl siding, aluminum steel siding, or brick. I know what brick is. What about the aluminum steel siding and or the vinyl siding? Can anyone help shed a light on these matters? Cheers, Chris.
Well, yeah. You've never seen... I guess this guy's never seen vinyl siding. It is... They used to... Patterson, you know all about this
right.
siding. Well, tell us about it.
Well, it's just what the name implies. Like in the old days, it's typical wood siding for horizontal was 105 siding, they called it. I don't know if that pertained to the... I mean, if anybody said 105, you knew what it was.
Yeah.
And then they made a smaller version of wood siding, more like maybe 3 inches or so. I don't really know the name of it. I mean, there's 100 kinds, and then there's cedar siding vertically up and down. But basically, aluminum siding is sort of a metal version of 105 siding. It's made to look kind of like it, and it overlaps at, when it's put on. And it has, Don Shaw, you might know this better, it has kind of a wood interior, does it not?
It does.
Some solid material other than... And then vinyl siding is a takeoff on both of the others made out of vinyl or some similar like to PVC or thereabout. They make fence material. And the two chief differences than wood for both of these is you have to paint wood, and these you don't. The disadvantages of the aluminum is it will dent.
Sure will.
Hail, rocks, or some don't
football
get much vertical. Hail, but yeah.
The house
kids playing
camp.
Ball, you could dent it. Yeah. The vinyl siding is susceptible to extreme heat. Tends to maybe warp or soften up if it's like on a west side of a house, say, that just stay, depending also on what color it is. The darker the color, the more you're going to get some kind of heat reaction.
Yeah.
But basically, that's kind of about it.
And I know one house we had one time in, where we used to live had aluminum siding on the gables. And, man, when the west sun would be shining on that gable on a hot summer afternoon, man, you would just hear it popping and cracking,
right.
You know, just expanding and...
Well, the gables on the house that I live in now, all of the under, you know, your Cornish board and everything is covered with aluminum. And you can even see, like, the dents, you know, where stuff is in it. Tree limb.
Yep, so, tree limb. Or
but
something
it is maintenance-free. It makes it pretty maintenance-free. I mean, you can wash it off with a garden hose.
Right. Those are the plus.
And it comes in big sheets. I mean, it doesn't come in individual pieces. Seemed like I've seen some that did, but not in years. It comes in great, huge sheets of siding, and I would say it wouldn't be a bad thing to have on a house. It's going to be cheaper than brick, would be a lot more expensive.
I was just going to go just the opposite way.
You think brick could be cheaper?
They'll almost tell you that brick is about the cheapest way to go. You know, and your cedar that you put on this building was about the most expensive.
Yes, I know. My wife.
My wife
loves it.
Oh, it makes it nice. It's beautiful. And but if I were going to if I was buying a house or the option was mine, I would sure consider brick. And there again, low maintenance, and
no
it's
kidding.
Not so susceptible to weather.
But if this guy, if you're going to buy a house, why don't you build a house? We recommend. Think how much fun you had there.
Yeah,
big
boy. Oh boy,
man, I'd like to do it again. I really would. I'd like to do it again. If I could talk Lou Ann into it, but yeah, this cedar is called box and bat. Cedar. I can't remember which is the box and which is the bat. Do you know the?
I believe the bat's the little board that goes over the crack between the two big boards.
But see, ours is different. We had this building is what they call reverse box and bat.
Okay.
And the house is box and bat, and the box is the big piece and the bat is the little piece, right?
I think so.
So it's about a piece about 6 inches wide. Then you'll have a board. Then you'll have a board kind of sticking out that comes out about an inch and a half, a little small board that's about an inch wide, and then you'll have another box. And that's called boxing bat. This is reverse boxing bat, whereas the bats are inside and the box siding is on top. Because that, some way or another, was cheaper. And I don't know why it was. Maybe the,
maybe the house is
the opposite. But anyway, one of them is opposite, and nobody's ever noticed that. But that's the most expensive way to go. But Lou Ann likes it, and what do I care? I just play my harmonica and play my accordion, and I don't care. I don't give a damn what she about. Play my little guitar, and if that's what you want to buy, Mama, it's okay with me.
And cedar will be around for a long time.
But now you're supposed to have it stained every once in a while, which we need to do. Uh-huh. We haven't done in 5 or 6 years. You got to have it stained. But
so there's
vinyl, nothing wrong with vinyl siding or aluminum siding. If you find a house you like with aluminum siding, buy it. You just wash it off with a water hose.
Okay. Beats painting.
All right.
All right. Bryce wants to know if anyone has an idea on how much a half-decent power washer costs. And the best place he could find one.
I'd like to have one.
I have been looking.
Thinking about buying one this spring myself.
Sam's has them for about $235.
I've heard anywhere from $100 to $300 or $400. Yeah. So.
Did you hear Shaw Boy says he's going to buy one? Then we don't need to.
Yeah, thinking about buying one this spring.
But now, is this going to be the same as buying Windows 2000? Or?
Well, I don't know. It might take a while. You never know. It might take a while. It might. It might actually take a while. I did. I broke down and bought some software, believe it or not.
We'd like to thank Stephen for helping Don.
I've had my eye on a power washer, like I say, and I think you're about right, Don, anywhere from one to three. I've never seen one for one.
Everything in between. So.
But, and I think they come in like, I don't know, not BTUs, but...
Different PSI pressures and things that they can do.
And they're neat gizmo. I would say you're going to do a real good one for $200, in the $200, $225, $175 range.
Yeah.
And just about anywhere. Lowe's, Sam's.
Yeah, any home improvement store. Yeah. I just remember how hard they are to store, like, you know, to get the water out of when you're finished. But, I mean, I know they're neat, because when we went on vacation last summer, every morning, this place called Kima where we went, where they do some cleaning on this boardwalk, boy, their maintenance people used them. Man, they clean things quick and easy, and it'd be the thing to have.
Well, if you had a house with vinyl siding, they'd sure be the thing to have.
Vinyl siding, cleaning your patio furniture, your patio, your deck. Just, man, you can use it for a lot of things.
I'm surprised I don't have one.
Well, then they make, you know, electric or gasoline power.
They sure do.
So the electric one would obviously be awfully quiet. That's what looks like a blind guy
would want.
Which
is what I'm going to go with.
Well, except when you start spraying
house,
that water, it's going to be pretty noisy, too, though.
Yeah, I guess that's true. There's Frankie Brand.
You can even put the soap. They have a soap dispenser. You put it in the soap. It'd be like a car wash then.
That'd be good. I'd have those kids out, grandkids out, washing your car, wouldn't you?
Uh-huh.
Here's a guy with a real problem. This guy's name is Troy, and he says, how are my toilet tank lines? And is it bulbar? I don't know. I have a grimy substance coating them. Is this, and how did it get there? I'm thinking maybe it's lime. It feels gooey. That's as much as I can explain about it.
He's talking about inside his toilet tank. Because he's bulbed the bulb thing goes up and down.
I guess.
Don't worry about it. Just don't worry about it. And, you know, when it doesn't work, take it out and put a new one in. Just don't worry about it. It's just rust build. It's oxidation, isn't it, guys?
I think so.
It's just oxidation.
Yeah, depending on what kind of water. If he's got harder water or salt, you know, a lot of hard water will do.
You could probably put some chemical in there. I bet somebody makes a toilet tank cleaner if you went to Lowe's or someplace. We didn't hear from Linda to find out if a Home Depot had something. What was that we were wanting to know?
We had a Home Depot question.
And she was supposed to answer it. I need to get a hold of her. She was going to get a radio guy to do blind like me. Anyway, I wouldn't worry about it.
That's
until
another good place where some of your chlorine swimming pool pill would
be. That might not be a bad idea. Put
it one might not.
Find somebody who has a swimming pool, or pour a little Clorox in your toilet tank and let it sit for 10 hours. I mean, until you have to use it.
Yeah.
And I bet that would help. But it's just oxidation. It's just a little rust, and it won't. I don't think it'll hurt anything. I wouldn't worry about it until the thing quit working. I've stuck my hand down in them, and they're nasty. I mean, they're rusting. Crap everywhere. I see you've had the lid off a commode, you know, that kind of stuff. Blind guys don't know.
And, you know, and you talk about handyman projects, and that's one I've done. I've replaced every part inside a commode. But if you had the wherewithal, that's almost the one job that I would call a plumber. If you got a plumber that'll come for, you know, $50 an hour for the first hour, he can do it in 30 minutes because he's going to charge you an hour but I promise you, you may save a lot of grief.
you can get in a lot of trouble doing it, but it is a doable deal. Blind people can do it, you can do it. But I wouldn't worry about that gooey stuff in there. That probably means that your stuff's old. If you don't like it, replace the whole works. You can go to the hardware store and just replace the whole insides, and then you won't have gooey stuff on there. All right, Tom, we ready for a break?
Yes, we are.
All right, let's take a little break. We got a guest coming up. He's Lee A. Stone's brother. His name is
Gene Stone.
And so we'll have Gene Stone on in just a minute. More of the exciting Blind Handyman Show. Stand by. The Blind Handyman Show is blind people have as many plumbing problems and household repairs to do as sighted people do, but we can't do them exactly the same way sighted people do, so we need some input from other blind people to find out how they do household repairs, and so we formed this Blind Handyman, and we got a list going. And as far as blind like me is concerned, we want to use it as an educational tool. As I remember being a young adult, a young person, and thinking, well, how am I going to, I want a nice house and as kids and a good job, but how am I going to do that? And I had just had no idea. And I think the Blind Like Me show demonstrates the fact that it can be done even if you are blind. That's not a handicap. It can be done.
If you would like to be a guest on either show, or you can suggest someone as a guest, email us at blindhandyman@hotmail.com or blindlikeme@txucom.net.
Well, so far, it's been a labor of love.
Now, the Blind Handyman and Blind Like Me can be heard at new times, in new places, on streaming audio at the For the People website, from Houston's Taping for the Blind on the Houston Radio Reading Service, on the InTouch Radio Reading Service, and on radio reading services all across the nation, and of course at acdradio.org. If your radio reading service is not airing Blind Like Me and the Blind Handyman, let them know both shows are available free of charge. Contact us at blindlikeme@txucom.net or call 936-634-9500. That's the Blind Handyman and Blind Like Me at new times in new places. Help us spread the word to blind people all around the world. Blind Like Me and the Blind Handyman. Available free to qualified blind people and their sight-dependent friends.
You are listening to The Blind Handyman, the talk of the blind community. Our email address is blindhandyman@hotmail.com. If you would like to be part of the show, leave us a phone number and we will contact you soon. Now, here's more of today's show with Phil Parr.
We had Lee Stone on, Lee A. Stone. The A is there because of computer, because of there's so much identity fraud that he said he did that and he found out that there were a dozen Lee A. Stones. So anyway, we have Lee A. Stone, who is one of our favorite people, writes our list all the time and has been on the show. Gene Stone, how are you, sir?
I'm fine. How are you?
We're
good. I'm not Lee A. Stone.
You're Gene A. Stone, huh?
No.
Well, we had a lot of fun with you, brother. We've had some good times with him. He's always you're not on any of our lists, are you?
Of course I am.
Oh, are you?
You blind or something?
Well, I know. Yeah, are you blind or something? I never see your name on there.
That's because you don't look close enough.
That's because I don't look close enough. Yep, you're Lee's brother, all right. No question about that.
Well,
we're glad to have you. What part of the country are you in?
I'm in the top northeast of the United States called Maine.
Maine. What city in Maine?
Portland.
Portland, Maine. Portland, they call it Portland East.
Well, you people down south probably say Portland.
We say Portland. Down here, we call it Portland, Maine, up there at Portland.
Yeah.
And it's, by God, it's cold up there, isn't it?
Well, not today.
Not today. What's the
heat wave today.
Is that right? What's the temperature today?
39.5 it was.
39.5. So you've got one of those talking indoor outdoor thermometers, don't you?
No, I just walk outside and feel it.
And feel it. But how do you tell how cold it is?
Oh, I call time and temperature like most people
call the time and temperature?
Yeah.
Let me hush my dog.
What a deal.
Well, you got a dog back there?
That's our dog. If she's outside and she wants to be in here with us, and if you let her in, she'll jerk a bunch of wires loose, and
then
we'll have trouble. So we have to keep her not on a leash, but she's outside the studio. She's not. It's nice and sunny. It's probably 65 here.
Well, someday we'll get to see that. But 39 was a heat wave, and it's presently 35 degrees here.
35. And you, do you work? Are you employed or not?
Yes, I work out of the house here 4 days a week, and I work for AAA Emergency Road Service on the weekend.
And you're like a dispatcher for them or something?
No, I'm a call receiver. Good morning, Northern New England, AAA Emergency Road Service. Gene speaking. How can I help you?
Is that the way you do it,
man?
That's good. I'd like to hear that friendly voice if I was broke down on the side of the road.
There you go.
And so they don't call them dispatchers anymore. What do they call them? What did you hear?
Well, no. There's dispatchers. They talk to our trucks that are in the fleet that are out on the road.
Okay, but you're a what?
We're the ones that take their... On a real busy day, we have 300 call receivers.
Uh-huh.
We take all the front line stuff coming in. Either they're nice or they're,
jerks.
We can't say that.
Well, sure you can. You can say anything you want to on the Blind Handyman Show. we don't discriminate. We don't care what you say here. It doesn't make any difference to us. But and so you do this on the weekends, and then the other 4 days, a week, you do what?
I work out of my house running my son's business.
Now, what is that?
My son is a lawn and garden and small home repair.
And so you answer his phone?
Yeah.
Well, that is just pretty cool.
What a deal, man.
Yeah. And I'll bet in the summertime he's got all the work he knows what to do with, doesn't he?
Well, let's put it this way. You need a lawn repaired?
Need a lawn repaired? Yeah, my lawn needs repair, all right. My wife's talking about grass seed. Why do we want to plant grass? We just have to mow it. If you didn't plant any, then you wouldn't have to mow it.
Well, what's wrong with getting out and mowing the lawn?
Well, I'm not into lawn mowing. I'm more of the sit-in-my-chair type.
Oh, you're one of those
kind of guys. Well, sounds like... so you don't have to leave your house to earn your living?
Well, yeah. You got to go out and talk to people.
Oh, I guess you do. But you don't have to do that.
Yeah, I do.
Oh, do you do some of that?
Yeah.
Actually go out and talk to customers?
Yeah.
Well, I'll be darned.
What a deal.
I'm home with a radio thing. I'm being interviewed.
Uh-huh.
I just told my son.
Told your son?
Yeah. Because he thought I was talking to my brother.
Ask him if he's coming to repair my lawn. No, don't. Only kidding.
No, this is my youngest son.
Oh, this
four
is your...
boys.
How many?
Four.
Four boys?
28, 27, 22, 19.
How many at home?
One.
Boy, we're almost free, aren't we, huh?
No, he's okay.
He's okay.
Yeah. Cool.
I was happy for mine to leave. You know how it is. Of course, he came back several times. Anyway, do what now?
Anyway, what?
Anyway.
Oh, did I get you off track again?
No, certainly. Yeah, you are Lee A. Stone's brother, aren't you? There's no question about that. Turn him up a little bit. He says he loud.
Turn him up a little bit.
Yeah, pull him up. Turn his phone up a little bit.
What, turn his phone up.
There
hello.
We
testing,
there.
Testing, one, two.
That's a little better. Understand.
Talking to the Blind Handyman Group. We're on a radio.
You can listen to all this Friday night.
All this Friday night you can hear Papa on the Blind Handyman Show. Don said that you had a room built on your home?
Well, officially it's called All Season Sunroom.
Which means?
Which means the floor base is a deck and a floor on top of that, and then a glass enclosure. I don't know what the technical thing is, but there's kind of sort of like a solid wall at the bottom,
uh-huh.
Whatever that is at the bottom. I don't know the name of it.
And then above that's glass?
And all glass.
Whoa.
And then a metal roof.
And which side of the house is this on?
On the east side where it sees sun from 9 o'clock in the morning until when the sun goes down.
So it sees sun all day?
All day long. Now, I'll give you an example. When we woke up this morning at 8 o'clock, the sun was up, and the temperature on the deck was, or in that room, was around about 38 degrees. And by 10 o'clock, it was up to 70 degrees. and by noontime it was up to 85 degrees.
Yeah.
While it was still topping out at 39.5 degrees outside.
Outside.
Whoa, man.
So this is a self-heating room in the winter when the sun's out.
Well, when the sun goes down, it gets a bit cold.
I would imagine it does.
And it'll be self-heating in the summer, too, won't it?
Yeah, but as much, you have 6-7 months of cold weather up there, don't you?
Oh, man, you like to make Maine look bad.
Well, you do. I mean, that's the way it is in Minnesota when I lived up there.
I didn't live up there, but don't tell him that.
I'm not going to chase the tourists away. You know what I mean? So
no.
I will say null and void on that question.
Tourists in Maine leave in October, and we both know that.
No, they don't.
Oh, they do.
No, we have our skiing. And we have our skiing up here.
Well, they don't care how cold it is when it's Keith. But you have a lot of cold weather, so a sunroom would be, whereas in Texas that wouldn't be any good at all because it's hot 4 or 5 months out of the year here.
Uh-huh.
So,
You know, there's the more elaborate ones, but I didn't go with the elaborate ones. The, the elaborate ones are so you can live in them year-round in that type of a room. It's insulated, and you got ventilation and all that kind of stuff. So if you had to deal with the heat like you're talking about, it could be taken care of. But,
what size room is this?
This room is a 10 feet in width and 30 feet in length.
30 feet long. So you built this along the edge of your house. Now, you didn't build it. You had it done.
I had it contracted.
Had it contracted, and they agreed to a price, and they came and built it for that price, and everything went smooth.
For the most part.
For the most part. Well, let's get into Let's talk about the parts that didn't go smooth. That's where we want to.
Let me back you up a minute.
Okay.
The first thing that I was talking to the group about and explaining to them is that when a guy came out here and talked, we videotaped, just like I videotaped my in the buying of my home originally, so that if there's any questions, our tape recording is nice, but a person can say, well, I really didn't say that. And the videotape makes it very clear who said what.
No question about it.
Right. So we had clear discussions about the contracts and the warranties, which there's three of them.
All right.
There's a lifetime warranty on the glass and then on the sliding glass door. There's a 15-year warranty on the deck, and there's a 10-year warranty on the labor.
Okay.
From there, we went into the discussion about I didn't want the dirt left here that they were going to dig up for the for putting in the cylinder cement slots that go down 4 feet, 2 inches to meet the frost level for here. That became an issue when they first came to do that. The dirt was sitting on the behind my house. It was originally blacktopped. I had it done that way to make it accessible for myself. So we had said remove it, and the guy says no. We usually just leave it underneath the deck. And I said the contract clearly says remove it, so remove it.
Take it away.
So they removed it. The next was that filling back in the areas. Because they had ended up bringing in a, well, they call excavator, I call it backhoe. And if I was to do my contract all over again, I would, that's one of the things I didn't think about, and people ought to think about that when they're doing something contract-wise, if they're bringing equipment in, who is, and what can be done for the damage done to your property while the equipment is in there.
And bringing it in and out.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
The next one was is that they put in the cylinders and they backfilled a little bit around the holes because these holes were, you know, by the bucket from the backhoe. that had to be approved by the city here in the city of Portland, which it was for their proper depth. And they came out and measured it, and then they filled the cylinders up with cement and they dried for 3 days, and then we went into a freezer mode. Of minus 50 degrees, so nobody could work.
Yeah.
So after we come back out of that mode for a while, it got up to about 5-6 degrees. They come back in, and they built the deck.
Mm-hmm.
The small problem we ran into there is this house is 145 years old.
Whoa.
It's got a little kink here and there.
Yeah, you would think so.
So they had to make some adjustments for that. And we're talking the 145-year-old home has got big beams.
Yeah, I bet it does.
So they had to make some adjustments, but that was fine. The deck was fine. But one of the things that my son that I manage his business for noticed that they popped, so they didn't nail the deck down. They only tied the corners. So when they came back the next time, this next crew came in, I pointed these things out to them, and they said, no problem, they did that.
Mm-hmm.
The crew that came in and put up the glass enclosure over top of the deck was very good. They walked me through step by step each section that they were doing and what they were doing. It's only a 5-day process. I think you call it aluminum. And then the windows are put inside the frame and popped in and popped. He showed me how to pop them in and pop them out.
Mm-hmm. Really?
And he also showed me, because I ordered extra with the locks on the sliding glass doors. Living in the city, you just don't leave things unlocked.
Uh-huh. Even in Maine.
Right. Well, it could be down in your territory, too. I mean, it's not like you got all crime-free down there.
No, it's Texas. We got lots of crime down
there. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Watch out for Bush territory.
Yeah. I agree with the Dixie Chicks, but let's don't get into that.
But anyway, they pegged each one of the panels. The glass can slide left or right. And I asked them if they could peg one side and screen the other side instead of having the ability to slide left or right.
Yeah.
To screen left or right.
Mm-hmm.
So they did that for me. And then they installed the glass door, sliding glass door. They showed me how to make the adjustments on the wheels for the door if there was a need for that. Showed me how to take the screen in and out because their recommendation was for the northeast during the wintertime, the best thing to do is to take the screen door out and keep it in storage.
Mm-hmm.
And all fine. I had a very good friend of mine. He's a retired school teacher and a home builder. During the summertime, he builds homes. Cliff came down and took a look at the whole thing. He pointed out a few minor things here and there, and they were very forthwith in fixing them. Like I said, they were just minor kind of things. And then he was satisfied, so I was satisfied.
And I guess living in the city like you do, they did the city or the inspectors probably did several inspections at different stages of this process.
Yeah, when they did after the before they could what they called capping off the deck.
Yeah.
With the plywood. Yeah, the city had to come out and check the framework of the deck that was going out and the support. And the beam that was running on the outside for support.
Mm-hmm.
Then when the cap was put on, they again came out and checked it to make sure that was appropriate. And the next time they came out is the final project. In all this, too, being in the city, if you don't have an original structure, then you can't replace it. So I don't know how they got around the rules.
But really?
They managed to. And
now, I missed that. If you don't have an original structure, you can't replace it.
Well, in the city, the city of Portland, when I bought here originally, and a lot of people in the city buying houses here in the city are not aware in the city of Portland that if you buy a house, which the majority of the houses in the city sit on lots that are 50 by 45 or 25 by 45, I think the smallest one I've seen in width is 25, and the length was 35 feet.
Mm-hmm.
If the house burns down to the foundation, you can't rebuild.
Hmm.
Now, in that same code, this lot is 100 feet in width and 78 feet in length. Is the depth of it?
Yeah.
So in the code, it says any structures inside a house lot that if there is the present structure there, and if, like, if you wanted to add a deck onto your house or you wanted to add a sunroom onto your house or an extension onto your house, if there's a previous structure there, then you can knock it down and then replace it. But if there is no previous structure, then you can't replace it.
All right. In other words, you couldn't build, if there hadn't have been something there, you couldn't build something new. But somehow your guys got around it.
somehow they managed to do it.
Yeah.
What a deal.
Well, so if the if your house burned down, they wouldn't let you, the city wouldn't let you rebuild your house.
Except null and void on me because I read the law, and I the church that was selling this had no idea what they were selling, so I bought two city lots. So my lot is 100 feet in width, and the front side of it, and the depth of it was 100 feet, but it took the property line right back to their church. So I have an agreement with the city that I gave them back a portion of the land, so I'm 78 feet in depth, that if my house does burn down, I come underneath the grandfather clause that I could rebuild.
But most people,
like the house is directly across the street from me, if they were to burn down, a young lady just paid $275,000 for a home sitting on pillars. If her house burns down, she's got to still pay the mortgage, but she can't rebuild.
Man.
Well, because she'd probably have fire insurance, which would probably pay the mortgage. But why would they pass a law like that? What doesn't make any sense?
Well, along, they realize that all of a sudden you got houses that are sitting within 3 inches of each other.
Okay.
So what they tried, the fire department said, is, you know, we're looking at some serious problems here. As the city's growing, you need to be take things under consideration if you're fighting a fire.
Oh, so that's the reason, because the houses are just too close together.
Right.
I've seen, I was in Michigan one time, and I saw that kind of like on a little town on the Great Lakes where a property was at a premium, or like in Galveston, Texas, you have small lots. But I'm wondering, whether y'all a seaport town or an island? I'm amazed at the smallness of the lots and the density.
The city of Portland is the mainland, but then where I'm living is on a peninsula.
Okay.
It sticks out into Casco Bay.
Right.
This portion of the town, way back in the 1800s, started out to be farmland and coming down off the hill into the city because if you're from the west Oregon area, you would say it's a minor little hill. For us over here, it's a good-sized hill to walk up. That sits on, if you go down far enough, it sits on a bed of granite out into the Casco Bay. It originally was a farmland up here, and off on the edge of the peninsula, the water supply. They had a dam, and they backed up the water even with the level of the top of the hill here. When that broke and flooded the city out, they did away with that system and got their water from Sebago Lake and put in a water system for the whole city of Portland. At that time, then it became settled, and they started developing it for the Irish and the Jewish people up here on the hill, because it was considered an elite neighborhood to live out on the island or out on the peninsula. From there, it just developed into a multi-culture and high-income, low-income.
And they let you move in.
Yeah, they let me move in. I was smart, though. I bought when the market fell.
Uh-huh.
This could probably be more about Portland, Maine than we really needed to know.
Well, it's okay. Now, what do you want to know about this Sun Deck? I think it's a great thing. And the only thing, if people are going to do it, is be very smart. Listen to the warranties and the that they're offering.
Yeah.
One of the things that Lee and I talked about was when he got his vinyl siding done is that there was the warranty on the vinyl siding was great, but there was no warranty on the labor.
Uh-huh.
And to me, if you're having a contract done, you need a warranty on the labor. So
that videotaping is a good idea.
It is.
Even if you can't see the videotape, doesn't make any difference. They can.
Right.
That's right.
All right, sir. Well, go sit in your sunroom and enjoy the sun and have a beer.
Yeah,
and don't drink beer.
And
you
what?
Your beer.
You don't drink beer?
No.
Hang up on him. Do what? Whiskey. Whiskey only, huh?
Yeah.
No, that's not bad. I'm kind of
and beer for his horses.
And we'll send you lobsters to make you smile.
I love them. Anytime you send them, we'll certainly take them and send you a check. All right, sir.
Take care.
Well, post something on the list so we'll know you exist.
All right.
Thank you, sir. And we'll talk with you in a minute. Back with more of the Blind Handyman Show in just a sec.
Y'all take care.
The Blind Handyman Show is blind people have as many plumbing problems and household repairs to do as sighted people do, but we can't do them exactly the same way sighted people do, so we need some input from other blind people to find out how they do household repairs, and so we formed this Blind Handyman, and we got a list going. And as far as Blind Like Me is concerned, we want to use it as an educational tool. As I remember being a young person and thinking, well, how am I going to, I want a nice house and kids and a good job, but how am I going to do that? And I had just had no idea. And I think the Blind Like Me show demonstrates the fact that it can be done even if you are blind. That's not a handicap. It can be done.
If you would like to be a guest on either show, or you can suggest someone as a guest, email us at blindhandyman@hotmail.com or blindlikeme@txucom.net.
Well, so far, it's been a labor of love.
Now, the Blind Handyman and Blind Like Me can be heard at new times, in new places, on streaming audio at the For the People website, from Houston's Taping for the Blind on the Houston Radio Reading Service, from the In Touch Radio Reading Service, and on radio reading services all across the nation, and of course at acdradio.org. If your radio reading service is not airing Blind Like Me and the Blind Handyman, let them know both shows are available free of charge. Contact us at blindlikeme@txucom.net or call 936-634-9500. That's the Blind Handyman and Blind Like Me at new times in new places. Help us spread the word to blind people all around the world. Blind Like Me and the Blind Handyman. Available free to qualified blind people and their sight-dependent friends.
This is the Blind Handyman. Be sure and tell a friend about the program and email us often, blindhandyman@hotmail.com. Now, here is more of the show with Don Shaw.
Well, all right. We are back.
All right yourself.
For the third go-around here.
I got he's Lee Stone's brother. Go ahead, Pat.
Yeah. No, I was going to say, what was his name? Paul?
No.
Gene Stone. Yeah. Yeah, okay. I guess the question is, do you call people from Maine Manians?
Or maniacs. Maniacs. I would think maniacs.
That's the question.
They're maniacals.
No, he was a good guest. I would have liked, if it wasn't confidential or hiding it from the IRS, I'd like to know kind of the cost of a 10 by 30 bill. That's 300 square feet. I can sure tell you what it costs down here.
Yeah, it's a good size room, man.
Down here, instead of the like sunroom so much, the new rage is kind of the room over the garage that we got call the bonus room.
Yeah.
And I said early going into this, I thought it was the builder's bonus, not ours. I mean, the price was extraordinary.
Yeah.
So well, and to make a boat payment or something, guy.
Yeah, I would have liked to have kind of known this.
That's a good
cost
size
per square foot.
Because
in
our
Maine,
patio top we had built on was like, oh, it's 10 or 12, like by 34. So, you're talking almost the same size there for the sunroom. So, it's a good big, area.
We should have asked him what the cost. What if he would have told us what the cost was? We should have
maybe
asked.
Maybe he can post it. Or just a square footage, up there for building here. They have a lot of the builders new construction, $70, $75 a square foot.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of 68. I've seen it. 3M here go for 68. But that's turnkey. I mean, that's everything.
Yeah, which he got, a turnkey job.
Just covered concrete, is like $32 a square foot. Just concrete is about $2 a square foot. So
really?
Yeah, I guess it just...
We want to talk... I'm sorry, Houston, I bumped your thing. talk a minute about changing a light bulb if you can't get to it.
Okay.
You can't see it and you can't get to it. You can't see it because you can't see, and you can't get to it because
you can't reach it.
Well, this one I can get to if I take the ladder. I've got a little 6 foot. I ought to have an 8 foot step ladder, but there's a little 6 foot step ladder. If I'm up on the next to the top step, which is as high as I'm willing to go these days. There was a time when I'd have stood on the very top step. My balance is not that good anymore. I've got to hold on to something. I can barely reach this light bulb, and I'm always afraid I'm going to drop it because I can just touch it with my fingertips to get it out. I mean, it's up there. It's the one over Lou Ann's chair in the living room, and there's one over her chair and my chair also at sloped ceiling. So changing them without being able to, now that I've been up there, that makes it easier since I've seen it. But I bought this steel a couple years ago, and the last time I went to use it, it wasn't here. And yesterday, I looked for it, and it was here. So I'm thinking, guess who had it? And he denied it. I called him and asked him, have you got my... Well, and this is a deal. It's an extendable wand with a suction cup on the end of it. There's a little round suction cup. It's about four inches across suction cup.
That you could put on the light bulb.
And you can extend this thing. Will probably extend 15 feet. It's about 5 feet long, and you pull out one section, and you tighten it up, and you pull out another section. So you could change one.
What a deal.
You could change one probably 20 feet in the air with a thing.
Well, I assume you're talking, these are recessed lights, right?
These are recessed lights.
And you're talking floodlights.
Yeah, they're a big flood bulb above Lou Ann's chair.
Oh, what a deal.
So I reached up, and first of all, before I locked the suction cup, I just kind of moved it around and felt the diameter of the light, and then got right in the middle and pushed the suction cup up. And sure enough, when I started unscrewing, I heard the light bulb start unscrewing. I unscrewed it. I brought the thing down, got rid of that light bulb, stuck another one on there, wetted a little bit, and stuck the other light bulb up in it, stuck the light bulb, and got it like I wanted it, and it screwed in. Then it has a little string on the side of the edge of the suction cup, and you can pull this string, and it'll pop the suction cup loose. You really don't need the string most times. You can just work, because you're putting the suction cup on when you're taking the bulb down. By the time you've got the bulb screwed in, you can just pull the suction cup off. But, I mean, I want some other blind people to try this and see. Because I did it. She was there, but I did it. I put the thing up. I didn't let her do it. I wanted to see if I could do it by myself. And sure enough, you don't have to.
Were you standing on the floor?
I was standing on the floor.
Okay, so you were. Because, we're going to be faced. I need to know where you got this gizmo.
Yeah, no kidding.
Well, you can borrow mine, or you can go by John's house and get it. I think his house would be closer to you. John's house would be. John is my brother-in-law.
But I leave you the deposit and go by his house.
Go by his house and get it up.
That's right.
I swear, it was. I looked in that closet a year ago when I was going to change that bulb. And I went and looked in. I have two places that I would have kept it, because I keep things that are long and tall in corners. And so I put this in the corner of this little coat closet. I looked all over that. It wasn't there. I went out in the garage and looked in my other corner where I keep things. And I called him and asked him if he had it, and he denied it.
Yeah, and then it materialized.
And then yesterday I thought, I'm going to look for that one more time. And I looked in there, and there it was, right where I knew I'd put
magically
it.
Magically appeared.
So
exactly where I knew I'd put it.
What's the full length of it?
About 15 feet.
Okay, because I've got some that I believe may be... I may be on a 6 foot ladder with that sucker. I got some that I bet you're 18 feet.
Well, see, that's 15 feet from the floor. 15 feet. If you held it up, you could hold it up 6 feet.
Yeah.
So
aren't yours on the slant?
Yeah, mine are on the slant.
So are mine.
Okay, mine are on a slant, but then the way the fixture is, it is not on a slant.
But then I wonder how it'll do on like littler bulbs.
It would do fine on any bulb, I think. I think it would fit around any bulb.
Because we've got a ceiling fan that's high in the study and in the den that is...
Yeah.
They're hanging down on an extension rod, but they're still. And that'd be interesting if you could go in.
This is a recessed light that was. This light is probably. I guess we're going to have to lock her in the house.
There's a good example, though, of that tool that you might never know about. You know, if you're a blind person,
you would not know about it.
And it's called a light changing gizmo. Is that what it is?
I have no idea what it's called.
And it came from what you
probably Target. Probably came from Target. Everything we buy comes from Target. I'm gonna have to put Frankie in the house next week, right?
Probably.
She'll love it.
You could call the pound
for my baby Frankie Brand. I don't think so.
Oh no.
I love Frankie Brand. She's
my baby, but she's just a big mouth bitch.
That's all she is. I was married to her sister at one time.
Shaw was trying to put her on a diet earlier.
He was. Anyway, right. this is a doable deal, even if you can't see. It helped that I had seen the light up there, that I had looked at the fixture.
Yeah.
That helped me know kind of where the bulb was. But even if you haven't, I wouldn't be afraid to, because you know when you got the bulb and you're unscrewing it, you can hear it being unscrewing.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And so, you know, you got to put the other one on there. You're on the ground putting the other one on there, so you put it on securely, straight up. And it's these kind of bulbs with a long neck on them, you know?
Yeah, sounds like the
and
thing
stick
to
it
have.
Up in the hole, and so, Patterson, you need one. You can borrow this one I got.
Well, I wonder how much it cost you.
I would say $6-8. Wasn't much.
I wonder if they, in modern political correct terms, it is some kind of light-emitting
diode.
Something extractor.
light bulb.
Yeah, probably.
Now, that's probably what it's called, is a light bulb extractor.
Uh-huh.
That's probably what it's called. I'm almost positive it came from. We buy a lot of stuff from Target. Target is New Man's favorite store, so I'm reasonably sure that it came. But I want some other people, blind people, to try this.
Yeah, no kidding.
And kind of see how they do. Anyway, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
That's right. Sounds like two to have, man.
I guess we're,
Gizmo is the brand name.
Gizmo. Light-emitting gizmo.
Yeah.
But you go to Lowe's. Now, see, there's
Frankie.
Things are against us.
Uh-huh.
Everything's against us. That's Luann's line, anyway.
There's Frankie's agent.
Yeah. I need a beer, and I need it now. We'll go. Thank you, Don Patterson,
for
showing
it.
Up. Scooter man.
Well, I'm scared to ride my scooter, but I'll tell you all
We'll talk about his scooter next week. Don Shaw's been with us. We thank you, sir.
Yeah, good show.
Tom Houston here to run the board.
Yeah,
Thomas, as usual, you're wonderful, marvelous job.
But don't forget that guy up in Maine could be available. What a voice. What a
voice. Yeah. Yeah. Have a good voice.
There's always Mark Christie. But anyway, we'll see you. That's a joke, folks. We'll see you next week, and stay tuned for Blind Like Me if you're listening on ACB Radio. I'm Phil Parr. I see said the blind man as he picked up his hammer and saw.
Blind Handyman is produced by Out of Market Productions, 1604 Southwood Drive, Lufkin, Texas. Phone 936-634-9500.